All right. Well, let's pray together. Father, we come before you today and thank you so, so very much. Lord, you are the reason why we are here. You're the reason why we have hope. You are the reason that we are justified and forgiven. You're the reason that we have peace, and it's because of your shed blood upon the cross. It's because of the finished work of the cross that we were able to come to you boldly before your throne, to be called sons of God. And we thank you so much. We are humbled as a church. We are humbled by your presence. We are humbled by your sacrifice. And Father, Lord, we just come before you humbly saying thank you. Thank you for sending your son to die for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what? That's not sad news. Normally death is sad, right? Normally there's a long procession and things that you go through in death and grieving and all these different things. But on this occasion, when Jesus died, it was a happy day because we knew that Scripture was being fulfilled. And when he came up out of the grave, it was a time to rejoice for celebration. Amen? And so we're going to talk to you. I want to talk to you today. If you would turn to your Bibles in John chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 28, go through 30. If you didn't bring your Bibles, it's up there on the screen. It said, later, knowing that all was now completed. Everybody say completed. And so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a sponge, on a stalk, on a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. I want to talk to you today about that simple phrase that Jesus said, it is finished. From the Old Testament, when the prophets were prophesying about the coming of Christ, to the point where Jesus was unjustly accused, when he was brought away and ushered into a courtroom in the middle of the night, to the point where he was nailed to the cross, he was beaten and nailed to the cross, to the point where he was breathing his last, and he said, it is finished. There's no greater, no more profound quote or statement that could ever be made into the earth up till this moment today than it is finished. The word it means refers to the finished work of the cross. Colossians 2, 13 and 15, it says this. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus didn't just abolish death. He made a public spectacle of them. Amen? He didn't just die on the cross to improve our lives. He didn't die on the cross just to improve our circumstances, to make us better people, to give us better attitudes, to give us a better smile, or to give us a better life. Jesus died because we were, number one, dead in our sins. See, churches today, many churches today do not want to say that. We live in a very seeker-sensitive era in church history today where pastors do not want to bring the truth of the condition of people that are sitting in their congregations. Because we live in an era where we have a self-improvement gospel. If you want to be self-motivated, if you want to improve your life, you don't need to come to this church. Because you could go to any seminar that you want to. and you can improve your circumstances. But Jesus came for one reason and one reason only, and that is to set you free. That's to liberate you from your sins. Because we stand in the very courtroom of God, condemned of our sins. And when the gavel is about to be laid down upon the condition of our lives and our sentence is about to be handed out, Jesus rushes in with his nail-scarred hands and he lays them on the judge's gavel. And he said, I bled for their sins. I was bruised for their iniquities. And by my stripes, they are made whole. And the Father looks at you no longer as dead in your sins, but alive in Christ. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Amen. I want us to realize that the blood of Jesus isn't a common thing. It's an extraordinary thing. It's a supernatural thing. His blood covered our sins. No longer do we stand condemned any longer, but we stand justified at the right hand of the Father. We are no longer called aliens, but we are called sons and daughters of the Most High God. And in Him we live and move and have our being. Amen? The Bible says that he had disarmed the powers and the authorities. Now, having disarmed, let me just bring that to light just for a second. This is a picture of a conquered soldier. Back in biblical times, what they did whenever they brought in their prisoners, they'd make them kneel and they would strip them of their clothing. They'd strip them of their armor. They'd strip them of their weapons. It stripped them of their authority and everything that they had worked for, they stripped them bare. And they imprisoned them. They made a public spectacle out of their enemies. They didn't hang out with their enemies. They didn't invite their enemies to dinner. They didn't cozy around their enemies. They made a public spectacle of them. You see, the Roman society and all the Jews and everybody that nailed Jesus to the cross thought that they were making a public example and spectacle out of this rebel. But oh, on the contrary, they didn't realize that Scripture was being fulfilled in their very presence. They didn't realize that heaven was coming down in their very presence. They didn't realize that the sin and the weight of the world was being broken by every drop that spilled on the ground. They didn't realize that his broken body didn't symbolize defeat, but victory. They didn't realize that the spear that was placed in his side, they didn't realize that it was bringing about Scripture, bringing about victory, bringing about healing, bringing about restoration, bringing about sonship into our lives. Back in those days, the priest went into the most holy of holies in our stead. Not so that our sins would be forgiven forever, but just to push back our sins for 1 year. But Jesus came and he abolished sin. He made a public spectacle of them on a cross. And because of him, when we bow our knees and ask Christ to enter our life and have him Lord over our life, we now call him Lord and Master and Savior of our life. Amen? Also, the Bible says triumphing over them. It's a metaphor recalling a Roman general not only stripping his enemy down from everything that he knew, from all authority. He didn't just stop there. He tied him up. He called everybody to the main area into the city. And he ushered them through the city gates. Ushered them through the town square. And it wasn't a time of mourning. It wasn't a sad time. But people had their tambourines out. People had their confetti and flowers, throwing them down, proclaiming that their city has been saved, that their enemies have been subdued. And here Jesus has said, I have disarmed them, making them a public spectacle. He didn't just defeat them in a back room. He defeated them before the very foundations of the world, in order that the world would know that only He is God. Only He is Lord. Only He is Savior and Master and Healer. Amen? We've got a lot to shout about this morning, because He's alive forevermore. He is alive and He is forever interceding on our behalf. Hallelujah. Praise to God. I thank God that He not only disarmed, not only did He make a public spectacle of our enemies, but He also caused us to be overcomers as well. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. Amen? That we no longer have to live in our circumstances. We no longer have to be identified by our shortcomings. We no longer have to be identified by the sin in our life or our status in life. We can start all over through Christ. We can start all over in Jesus. When we bow our head and proclaim Him as Lord and Savior over our life, when we say, Master, come into my life, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. I have no power over myself. It is You that I give power to. And in that moment, you become sons and daughters of God. You know, when my boys come in, they don't have to, when they're playing outside, they don't have to knock on the door to come in. If they're thirsty, they don't have to ask, can I have a drink of water? If they're hungry, they don't have to ask, can I have food? If they're dirty, they don't have to go ask to get into the shower or to come in and to sleep in a nice warm bed. You know why? Because they're my sons. Now, if a stranger's kid come to my door, they would have to knock. If they wanted something to drink, they'd have to ask. Why? Because they're not my son. I don't know them. But because Christian and Joshua are my sons, they're heirs to all the McDonald Empire. Amen. Which we sold off a couple of weeks ago. So, there you go. But because they're my son, they have privileges. Because they're my son, I love them. The same way with your kids. And now that we are sons and daughters of God, we have privileges that come with the Word of God and obedience to God's Word. Amen? The finished work on the cross also causes us to overcome. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. Every one of you born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus made a statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's a pretty bold and large statement. Amen? Very bold, very large statement. Nobody else in all of history has said that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you see, you can't partake of the promises of God until He has been made Lord and Savior of your life. So many times I've dealt with people that are dead in their sins, that don't want to confess their sins, and they don't want to come before Jesus. They just want an improvement on their life. They just want me to make it better. They want me to rub some salve on it and say it's going to be okay. Come see me next week. But it's until we accept Christ as Lord. Everybody say Lord. Lord means that you don't have an opinion anymore. Yeah. Let's let that seep in a little bit. Lord doesn't mean that you have an opinion anymore. It means that you you no longer have direction for yourself anymore. It means that you don't have enough wisdom in yourself anymore. It means that you don't have the answers for everything anymore. But allowing Him to be Lord and Savior of your life means that you have to be a living sacrifice, subject to His Word, subject to His heart, subject to His promises. And I'm going to tell you, His promises are good. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Church, there's not another person, there's not another company, there's not a husband, there's not a wife, there's not a child or anybody else that can fulfill you like Jesus can. So many people find their identity in who they work for or what they do. It's good to take pride in what you do. It's good to take pride in who you are and who you're married to and your kids and all those different things. But when they begin to define who you are, then we've lost Jesus. Because Jesus defines who we are. And it isn't until we yield to His blood, yield to His way, yield to His sacrifice, that He makes us into a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? I said the problem with living sacrifices is they like to wiggle off the altar sometimes. When things get a little too hot, they like to go, you know, people say, oh yeah, you know, God is Lord of my life, but when He begins to tell you to do certain things that you don't want to do, that is contrary to your nature, contrary to your identity, contrary to everything that you are, but you know He spoke to you, then we start to wiggle off the altar a little bit. I don't know, Lord, I don't know. But it's in those moments that we say, yes, Lord, that His blood and His sacrifice has truly come alive in our life. It isn't through the worship all the time. It isn't through our good deeds that we are justified. It's through His blood. Do you realize that on your best day, you're still not good enough? That's why we sang the song, that last song, "All My Trophies I Lay Down." Come on in. Good to see you. You tried to sneak in, didn't you? "My trophies at last I lay down." What are trophies? Your accomplishments. Your trophies are your accolades, everything that exalts you. And we come and we lay them down at the feet of Jesus. And we say, I don't want to any longer have any more triumphs except for in You. No longer do I want to be recognized by what I do except through You. Because I want to make much of who You are in my life. Jimmy McDonald must die so that he can be lifted up and made holy. Amen? It's His blood, church, that covers our sin. It's His blood that makes us new. It's His blood that justifies us. It's not our church attendance. It's not how hard we worship. It's not the tongues that we speak. It's not our good deeds. It's not if we sing on key. It's not about all of those religious things we do. It's about His blood and our obedience to His blood. Amen? He causes us to overcome in areas that we have been torn down and dictated by for so long. He causes those barriers to be abolished. He takes those weaknesses in your life and He strips them down to the very root of who they are. And He brings them through the city courts and makes public spectacles out of all of them. Why? Because He loves you. Why? Because He has a plan for you. Why? Because He knows that your life can be better if you trust and obey. There's an old song that says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And you know, Dana and I never thought I'd leave Savannah, just to be honest with you. But here I am in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I hope that I don't need an interpreter for my hillbilly accent. I've tried to enunciate as much as I possibly can. But you know, when I was 18 years old, I went to a youth camp, and I went there because my girlfriend wanted me to go. Never been to Dallas, Texas before, so I went. And that very night, I came in and was blown away. I had an encounter with Jesus. And the Jimmy McDonald that went into that chapel died. All of my plans that I had for my life died that night. And I started my message saying that death is naturally a sad thing. But Jesus put my life on a course that has led me to speaking to you people right now, because I died to myself. I accepted Him into my life as Lord and Savior. I allowed His blood to cleanse my life. And I bowed all of my accolades, all of my trophies, I laid them down and said, Lord, they are rubbish. Paul says, I count all things as dung just for the sake of knowing Him. Paul said, I don't come with you with eloquence of words. I don't come to you with wise words and eloquence of speech, but I come with demonstration. You know where that demonstration comes from? From obedience. Some of you may be wondering today, I've been going to church all my life, but I've never had a demonstration of God in my life. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Following Christ is the hardest thing that I've ever done. But it has caused me to overcome those things in my life that would normally devastated me. Caused me to quit. Caused me to give up. It's the blood that changes our life, church. Amen? It's the blood of Jesus. John speaks of two kinds of victory here. Number one, has overcome. It's the initial victory of turning from the world to faith in Christ. Not the world, the created world, or people, or all of those things, but sin. He has caused us to have victory over sin. We no longer have to sit in our sin any longer. We no longer have to tolerate sin in our life. That's why the Bible says that we have to be quick to repent. Everybody say, quick to repent. You no longer have to sit and soak in your life the way you used to do. You no longer have to sit in shame. You no longer have to be defined by circumstances in your life, all the downfalls in your life. You no longer have to be identified in that way any longer, because the blood of Jesus is the single most, the biggest factor in your life that changes all those things. It causes us to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, behold, the old things are gone, and behold, all things have been made new. You know, Jesus doesn't just repair things. He doesn't just fix things. He makes all things new. He makes all things new. Amen? Number two, overcomes the continuing day-by-day victory of a Christian's life. You can live in victory. You don't have to repeat the process of your sin over and over and over again. Being in a rut day after day, doing the same thing, being identified in the same sin, in the same faults, in the same habits. He has caused us to overcome and be victorious in Jesus' name. We have a new identity in Christ Jesus, because we are now called sons and daughters of God. And in Him we live and move and have our being. Now the same God in 2 Samuel 8:6 who gave King David victory everywhere he went is the same God in 1 Corinthians 15:57 who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, we no longer fight for victory. Listen to what I'm telling you right now. We no longer fight for victory. The victory has been won. We fight in victory. Amen? We no longer have to strive in our own strength. We no longer have to strive in our own understanding. We no longer have to fake being smart enough. He has triumphed on the cross so that we could lean upon His understanding and all our ways lean upon Him, and He will make our path straight. Amen? Church, we're fighting a fixed fight. We know who wins. A lot of people get in trouble for fixing fights. But Jesus was the best fight fixer. But here's the thing. You got to get in the ring. You got to get in the ring. You got to be obedient. You got to live each and every day, step by step, saying, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it today. I need a miracle from You today. And so instead of fretting, instead of worrying, instead of going in a dark place and closing the door, I'm going to open the shades and I'm going to pray in faith. Father, I thank You for providing for my needs according to Your riches and glory. I thank You that You have caused me to overcome. I'm no longer the tail, but I'm the head. I no longer have to be a beggar because I'm a son. I no longer have to sit in my worries because You have caused me to have perfect peace in Christ Jesus. No longer do I have to be the person that I used to be. No longer do I have to be judgmental. No longer do I have to be mean-spirited. No longer do I have to be bound up in sin because I have been set free by the blood of Jesus. I am set free by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God that the victory has been won, that He has overcome. You know, a young man feels bulletproof, feels like he can overcome the world by himself, feels like his health is always going to be there. But the Bible says our life is but a vapor. It's here for a moment and then gone. It's that quick. My niece and I were looking at some old videos from the late 1990s. And I looked like I was, Dana and I were just married, and I looked like I was 13. Courtney was just a little thing, about knee high. Boys wasn't even thought of yet. Things change. Got some grays coming right here. Dyed my hair once. Thought, man, that's about the dumbest thing. I say way too much, I think. But I want you to know your pastor will be transparent with you. Whole time I was doing that, I was thinking, I am stupid. Why did I do that? I was dumb. Dana liked it. She thought it was all right. But this life is fleeting. It really is. One day you wake up and you have hair, and the next day you wake up and you don't. It's just the way it is. I spent time with family this week in Marquette, and my family's here, and very thankful that they're here spending this day with us. But we ate ourselves into oblivion. It's unreal. And but things change. Life changes. One day I'll wake up and the boys will be graduated and gone. And this life that we thought would never end will be at its end. I buried my dad back in November 7th. Some of the hardest times of my entire life. My dad was my hero. He was a person that I looked to, sick all of his life, confined to his house. But every time I called, he had a wise word for me. Every time he called, he had an encouraging word. We talked about the Braves. We talked about Tennessee football. We talked about life. My dad was my mentor. He was everything. And to watch him be stripped of his life was very difficult. And I thought my dad would be there forever, but he was ready to go. He had peace, even though he was in pain, he had peace. The day he died, he had three nurses in his room laughing their heads off because of something he said. That's a man that has peace. That's a man that's been transformed by the blood of Jesus. That's a man that has assurance where he's going. He told me, he said, I'm ready. I want to go. I've hurt long enough. I've been caged up way too long. And he was ready. My question to you this morning, simply this, if we can have the worship team come, is, are you ready? Jesus, when he died, they took his body, and even his disciples were mourning and really couldn't figure out what was going on. Took him and wrapped him up and put him in a tomb that had never been used before. And they laid him there. And on the third day, something miraculous happened. The large boulder that was placed in front of his tomb had been rolled to the side. His garments folded and put over in a corner. And in Jewish culture, when you do that, that symbolizes that you're going to be back. You're going to return. And when Jesus came up out of the grave, he made a public spectacle of all those things that would so easily beset us in our life. And he triumphed over them. Not only did he triumph over them, but he made a public spectacle of them all, so that you and I would know that there's a Redeemer, that there's a Savior, and that there's a healer in the house. No longer do we have to be bound up in who we are, but we can be transformed into the likeness of our Savior, Jesus. Amen? Let's all stand. Ron and Gerald, if you come up and help me out for a minute. Dana, if you'd come up. Most of you that have been going to church knows what's coming next. I want to encourage you. I implore you. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. You can do like me when I was 18 years old. Go into chapel, one person, and come out another. Today, the Bible says, now, today is the day of salvation. Let's all bow our heads. Today, I'm going to ask you, if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, to simply come. Meet one of these men of God up here. Meet my wife, myself. I can promise you this, there'll be no judgment. There'll be no wise words. And there'll be no whys. We will just simply pray and lead you to the cross. You can be made new, you can be made justified, and you can be made a son of God right now, right where you stand. So now, I ask you to come. These altars are open. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, come today and receive this free gift. Receive the very reason why he came, to seek and to save that which is lost. And so I ask you, come. Come right now. Come as you are. Father, we come before you right now. Lord, you don't stand in judgment. Father, you stand waiting to receive us. You stand ready to receive us. Just as we are. Just as we are. Come today. Come today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's something you need prayer about this morning, the altars are open. I ask you to come. We want to pray with you. We want to believe with you. We want to pray through with you. If there's things that you have in your life that you're tired of dealing with, you realize that He is the conquering King that made a public spectacle, triumph over death, triumph over sin. And you need prayer, you need uplifting, you need your brothers called alongside you. Come, let us pray with you. Let us pray with you. Come today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, more than anything in this world, we want you to be Lord and Savior of our life. We thank you, Father, for your foresight, for your wisdom and your understanding. And we ask, Father, that Lord, by grace, by faith, we accept you today as Lord and Savior, Master. Hallelujah. Church, I just want you to, let's just worship the Lord just for a minute. Just for a moment. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory and honor to your name. Let's worship together this morning. Let's take our time. We're in no hurry. Hallelujah. Jesus.